Lisbon bureaucracy is a different level. This really stresses me out, but I've learned how to deal with this. Ella bullied me because literally just start and learn by doing. And apart from pastel de nata, I'm not a big fan of a lot of Portuguese cakes.
Welcome to From Lisbon with Love, a podcast about real stories of love, laughter, and life in Lisbon from women who have left it all behind.
The podcast where we share real stories about moving to Lisbon, starting over, and figuring life out along the way.
We talk love, dating, friendships, breakups, healing, growing, all of it.
Basically, the stuff we usually talk about over coffee or vino.
If you're thinking about moving abroad, already here, or just love honest conversations with heart, you're in the right place.
This is From Lisbon with Love. Hey guys, and welcome back. I'm Anna Sherina.
And I'm April Betts.
And this is From Lisbon with Love. If you're watching the episode instead of listening, you can already see that we have a full house today. This is actually the first time that we have two guests in our middle. And in this episode, we're going to discuss what it's like to start a business in Portugal with our guests Ella and Kate from Lisbon Bakes. Woo-hoo! Welcome!
Yay!
Thank you for coming.
And they actually brought one of their beautiful cakes here. Can you show everyone what this amazing cake looks like? I can't wait to dig in. Gorgeous.
What is it?
Is it chocolate?
This is a little mini chocolate cake with a chocolate ganache and strawberries.
It's beautiful. Ooh.
Hopefully, yes. It will taste delicious too.
It will be gone tomorrow.
I'm sure.
Yes. Thank you. No.
So, can you tell a little bit about yourselves, about like how Lisbon Bakes started, mm-hmm. and your friendship and everything? We want to hear all about it.
Mm-hmm. Great. Yeah, of course. So, I'm Kate. This is Ella.
Hi.
And we first met on a hiking group. I think it was a group on Meetup. And we went on that group several times, and then we gradually became friends.
Oh, nice.
So that happened all in Lisbon?
Yeah, all in Lisbon, yeah. And we've both been living in Lisbon for quite a long time, nearly 10 years now.
What?
So citizenship applications, we're waiting, pending.
Pending? You've been here 10 years and you're still pending application for citizenship?
It takes a really long time. We're waiting.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Adjust your expectations.
Lisbon bureaucracy is a different level.
We have this running joke that when we met, I told everyone that Kate and I are neighbors, and Kate always denies it and says we are not neighbors. We live too far from each other. But I'm from a city of 14 million people, so for me we are neighbors. For you, we are not neighbors.
Where are you from?
Iran.
Oh, Iran. Hello.
And I'm from the UK, so. I think our friendship is great because I think we, in many ways, are incredibly different people.
We are.
Different background, different life experience, different skills, different interests. We're really different, but somehow that's really good and we really make it work.
It's true. Yeah. So how did the whole idea come for Lisbon Bakes?
We had a lot of very stupid business ideas.
Sounds familiar.
I wouldn't call them stupid.
Ella, do you want to talk about some of our weirder business ideas that didn't work?
Yeah, we would go on long hikes or long walks and talk about wanting to be rich and living a fancy life. So we were always like going back and watching some YouTube videos or listening to podcasts and coming back and say, I think we should do this. We should have a vending machine.
We wanted to make an empire of vending machines, but then I discovered this is not a very good idea. And then we also wanted to open an empire of laundries, but...
Laundromats.
Yeah, laundromats, but we didn't do that either.
And then one day we were supposed to go on a hike with our friends. They didn't show up. It was just the two of us. And I think we were kind of lost in Sintra, right? So the hike took very long and we were like very frustrated. We were like, we need to start our business. We cannot just keep talking about it. And
yeah. So basically, Ella bullied me because she's kind of has admitted when she was a child she was a terrible bully and also an entrepreneur. And so she's bullied me into working for her. And I am using the skill that we decided, instead of using skills we don't have, to use skills I actually have and to make cakes. And Ella is marketing. So I'm like head of operation. She's head of marketing and business. And sure. So together we made this work.
Yeah. It sounds like a perfect team.
I love it. It actually works really, really well because Ella can't cook at all.
Cannot bake anything. Yeah.
But I don't know anything about social media marketing and business strategy. So this is perfect.
Yeah. It's also nice that you don't have to do everything alone, right?
Oh my God, I think we would die. I don't think you can do a business by yourself. I know people have tried with different businesses, but I really think you need to be two people. Yeah.
It's a lot of work.
Ella told me that when she was a child, to show how entrepreneurial she has always been, she had a hustle. Even when she was a small child, she was hustling, doing people's homework for them. But she got so fast that she would charge people to write their homework, and she would write two homeworks with one pencil in each hand at the same time so that she could be faster and earn more money at, like, hustling from her school friends.
That is amazing.
That's true.
That's how the whole marketing thing starts. Sounds really exactly. familiar to me.
Exactly.
It's similar to me because as a kid, I was a hustler too. I sold lollipops to all the kids at school. I would buy a box of the lollipops and I would sell them to everybody in school and make money.
Oh my God.
I did nail art. I still love nails, but yeah, oh my God. It's not so fancy.
You have really nails.
Thank you.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you guys, a bunch of hustlers here, starting businesses.
I was never a hustler. I just did stuff because I liked it, and now I've been forced to monetize my hobbies.
Kate does a lot of good artwork. You do a lot of crafts by yourself in your free time.
Yeah.
And you bring a lot of that to our cake and tea club.
Yeah, exactly. Now you can combine it. And actually, we also went to an event. Mm-hmm. That's also how we got to know each other.
So we had a collage, and it's our tea and cake club where we invite people to come and do some like nice activity, very chilled, but also have some tea and cake at the same time. And Anna did some incredible collage manifesting all the good things she wants in her life.
Yeah, it was like a vision board for this year, so...
I think it was mainly money and holiday. Money and hustling.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, well, let's get into the next one. What challenges did you guys have to face when starting a business as a foreigner or a newcomer here in Portugal?
Well, we started with really not having anything set up. So we wanted to test different things. We were not even sure if this is a good idea. We tested this and it worked.
Yeah. We just started selling cakes in my kitchen, basically to friends and people we know. Mm-hmm. But because, like I said, we've been here a while, we do know quite a lot of people. And then we could basically bully all of our friends into buying cakes from us for every occasion. I feel slightly bad that every single person that we know now has almost become part of Lisbon Bakes because everybody has to be now either a customer or an assistant. And I think that's how you start. You have to start, I mean, that's how we started, very small, and just dip your toe in and test the waters and build gradually from building connections and networking and community. Yeah. And I think Ella's idea of starting the Tea and Cake Club has been fantastic, that we get to know people. And from this, a lot of people are following us on Instagram. And then that's how we get orders that these events, it's like sometimes we can earn a little bit of money from running the events, but the events more, we consider them like networking, a way to meet people. And we do have a lot of repeat customers who come back to the events again and again and who order from us again and again for special occasions. So I think it's really about building community.
Yeah, I think so too, because the last time that we were there, it was also like such different people. Like it was so
It was
like,
a mixture.
Nice. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like when we went to the what do you call it, vision board event, I assumed it would be all women.
Yeah.
But there was men there. I was like, oh my God, there's men here.
Yeah. Yeah, but how do people find these events, like, mostly?
Ella?
Yeah.
Head of marketing.
Events, we announce the events on our Instagram in different ways through recording bits of content, talking about what we're going to do in the next event. So people kind of are always prepared for this. Okay. We run our club, we manage our club on WhatsApp. So we have over 100 members on WhatsApp who are part of the Cake and Tea Club. And we make the announcements first there, and we have a guest list, and we try to fill the spots first with people who know us and are part of the club. And then if we have more spots available, we announce them on Meetup and other platforms, TikTok, Facebook, Facebook groups, Facebook events, and try to get extra people from outside to join the club as well. Usually the conversion is very good. Like, people come to the event and they already feel like they are part of this. Maybe it has happened only once when someone came and said, "This is not for me," and they left. But mostly it's like people are like, "Oh, this is nice." Either they come every month or once a year just to do something different than their office job or their computer work. But I think it also helps them to taste the cakes and drink tea, but also do something nice and arty and crafty that people don't usually do on their normal day. And you came up with this. I think this was a really good idea, like painting, drawing, collage.
Yeah, people like to do art that's like very low stakes, where you've got permission to like act like a kid again and do something. Like, if you want to do it badly, you can do it badly. The result doesn't have to be good. It's just to like enjoy yourself and to do something different. I think people spend so much time just staring at a screen. It's nice to do something for a lot of people, like involving your hands. And I always like to do things like this, arts and crafts things. It's really nice to do.
Like the collage event that you joined us, I've been asking Kate for a year to teach me how to do a travel collage for myself. And we never had time. And I was like, bring this to the club because I need to do it for myself. And then everyone loved it. Yeah. And it was a really nice
I feel like we're, like, as a society, I feel like we're going to transition to back to in-person, more in-person things as opposed to the screen, because I think people are starting to get tired of the screen.
Yeah, that's also why we signed up, because we're, like, so busy with, like, working the podcast and everything, and we were like, yeah, let's just do something with our hands and disconnect and, yeah, just have fun and meet people.
Yeah, it's really a nice way to meet people as well, that it's very low stakes, but also you're doing an activity together, which kind of gives you something to talk about. It's like the hiking group that we went on. Like, it's really nice to walk and talk, and, you know, it feels like less pressure because you're actually doing an activity together. Yeah. So even if you don't really like anybody, it doesn't matter. It's like you still enjoy the activity.
Yeah. Has living in Portugal influenced the way you run your business? And if so, would this be different if you started the business in your home country?
Yes, definitely. For me, my point of view as a baker, I found that it's quite challenging because a lot of recipes don't work very well here, because actually ingredients are a little bit different. And you think it's all the same. You think butter is butter, flour is flour, cream is cream. But I have learned everything the hard way by making things that didn't work. And then I have to say, why is this a disaster? And I have to look on YouTube and find very specifically. Now I know a lot about the chemistry of baking, which I was not expecting to learn. But apparently, you know, slight differences in the percentages of fat in cream or gluten in flour make a really big difference to whether your cake sets or melts or rises. And I had no idea, because I just follow British recipes for the UK, and then a lot of them doesn't really work very well in Portugal, and I've had to figure out why and make a lot of adaptations, which as a home baker, just like self-taught, something that my mom always made birthday cakes, my sisters are very good cooks, and so I'm just used to doing these things just for myself and with my family. And then I'm like, oh, I've made this cake many times before in the UK, and now it's a puddle. Why? And I've learned everything the hard way.
That's so interesting. I would have never even thought of that. I mean, I don't bake that much. I mean,
this is not just a recipe, it's the environment.
Yeah, sometimes it's just like it's too hot. Like, the UK is not usually that hot. And here, sometimes things are just going to melt if it involves chocolate. Yeah, it can be like quite challenging adapting things for this environment. 'Cause sometimes... I'm, apart from pastel de nata, I'm not a big fan of a lot of Portuguese cakes, which is why I'm bringing British style.
You're cancelled now.
Yeah, I'm cancelled forever. Most of our clients are foreigners. But that's why I'm bringing British style cakes to Lisbon, because why would I bother trying to make Portuguese style things in Portugal? This is pointless, right? Yeah. So we have to offer something else. So I'm offering like classic British style cakes, like a lemon drizzle cake, chocolate fudge cake. And sometimes it's been challenging because the Portuguese ingredients are just different.
Well, you talk about community and how it's like help you build this business here in Portugal. Can you elaborate more on how important it is for you to build this community here?
Wow. I think every product, cakes is a... It's very technical. It's a passive product. You need to activate it. Mm-hmm. The only way to activate a product and bring people is the community. Mm-hmm. And as you said already, April, it's something that is maybe missing these days, like people getting together, seeing face to face and talking and connecting. Mm-hmm. So I think maybe we are at the right place, right time in Portugal. The community, I would say, is more important than the rest of European countries. In my experience living and traveling a lot in Europe in the past 15 years, Portugal is the best place to do this. We also have a great community in Lisbon of international people and also locals who come to our events a lot, experience our product, but also connect with each other and us. We made a lot of friends through Cake and Tea Club. But also the idea of cake and tea evenings came from you, I think, right?
Yeah, I mean, nobody eats cake on their own, do they?
I do.
Okay, but in my opinion, this is a slippery slope. I mean, I think if you're sad, if you're happy, you have commiserations, celebrations, you always want to have a cake there, you know. Salad is not there for you if you're sad or if you're happy. It's like, what's the point? Nobody wants to eat a cabbage if they're celebrating something. So I think
it's true.
Yeah, cake has to be part of a community. Otherwise, why would we do this? It's all about really getting together and enjoying something together. Mm. And yeah, like Ella said, we know a lot of people through this. And I think it's primarily foreigners. But as you experienced at our event, foreigners from absolutely everywhere. I never thought I would be friends with people from Iran, Romania, all different kinds of countries all around the world. Mm-hmm. And also lots of Portuguese people as well now.
Yeah. It's so cool that it's so mixed.
Yeah. It's one of the things that drew me to Lisbon when I came to visit. I was like, it's such a mix. I'm like, oh my God, I love it. Oh my
God. Yeah. And do you still feel like it's exactly as you saw it or experienced?
Yes. I'm like, I fall in love like even more, like the more that I'm here, like with Lisbon.
I feel the same. It's been great just getting to know new people and also the Tea and Cake Club. We've been doing it in lots of different cafes, and so that's been really great getting to discover new places that we wouldn't have been otherwise, and to support those venues and meet people who work there as well.
Yeah. I'm curious, how does the whole process work when you go to these cafes? Do you like give them a percentage of sales, or you just say, I'll bring this amount of people into the place?
So in the beginning, we tested different outreach messages to all the cafes. Mm-hmm. So I would go on Instagram and write 40 cafes, different messages a day for weeks and weeks, and try to see who's open and interested to this. We really particularly chose days like weekends, slow hours for cafes. Mm-hmm. So it would be low risk for them and easier to be open to our crowd going there. Mm-hmm. Usually after lunch on Saturday in Portugal is a time where cafes are empty. Mm-hmm. So we wrote a lot of different messages and different... We suggested different revenue sharing or renting, etc. And the one that worked and resonated most with other cafe owners was we give them 50% of everything we make. So if our club members are paying 10 euros, the cafe gets euros per person. And if we are charging 20 euros because we are doing a decorating workshop or a baking workshop, they would also make the same. So for them, it's good. And in the end, we ended up working with some cafes more than the others because they were more open and accommodating to different ideas. And different,
more space, maybe better
more space too.
Yeah, and usually the cafes are providing free free drinks included in the cost for the customers, and we're providing cake and an activity and filling the space at like hours when maybe there would not be so many people there. So it works out well for both of us.
And now Cake and Tea Club also expanded to something different, the Baker's Club Lisbon. So people now are coming to our events to decorate cupcakes and cake and cookies. And it ended up being a big hit among kids. So parents are asking us to go to different kids markets, kids events, and do kind of decorating. And a lot of them have been asking if you have baking courses for them. So we are starting a baking workshop, and we are already recording a baking course with Kate. So we could have like both like a hybrid baking online and offline.
You guys are expanding.
We are.
Yeah. One of our most popular events was called, it's Kids Corner, isn't it? So the organizers are called Kids Corner, and they do like markets for kids and families with lots of different activities and stands selling different things. And that was really, really popular for us. We did Halloween decorating, a spooky themed cupcake, and we had lots and lots and lots of little clients. And it was an incredibly busy but super fun afternoon. And we're doing another one with Kids Corner soon. When is that?
24th of May.
24th of May. So bring your kids if they want to decorate some cupcakes. And yeah, that was so popular that now we want to expand, and we need to hire a real kitchen space to go and have more spaces for different people to come, and going to do a workshop for making a little birthday cake and decorating a birthday cake.
Exactly.
Because some people want to come with their kids and, or maybe even adults. We'll see how it goes, if there's more interest for kids or for adults, but
We are testing
workshops.
Yeah. I feel like you have a constant with kids. You'll always be busy.
That's true.
Yeah, really busy.
Yeah, but it's so much fun because you can, with baking, you can have so much teams. So, yeah, it's, you can really be creative. And you started like around almost 1 year ago, right?
Yeah, we did. And we're going to have an anniversary party, aren't we?
We are.
Yeah.
We will invite you. I hope you can.
Yeah, free cake.
Woo!
Hello.
And how did we start the Lisbon Bakes officially last year? With your kitchen renovation.
Yes, my kitchen in my house was beautifully renovated. So we decided to launch the opening of my kitchen and opening of Lisbon Bakes at the same time. So just made a lot of cakes and invited everybody that I knew. Like I said, everybody we know is now part of Lisbon Bakes. I'm sure they're absolutely tired of it. I think my flatmate, Rafaela, might be tired of it, because when I'm in a state when things are not working, things are melting, and I'm hitting myself in the face with a mango and screaming, she's usually the person who comes to investigate and calm me down, and I do feel very sorry for her.
Thank you, Rafa.
Thank you so much, Rafa.
But does she get to try the cakes or no?
Yeah, absolutely. And so much so that I had to put a sign in my freezer that says, Rafa, don't get high on your own supply. Because if we have brownies in there, the brownies frequently don't last very long, because Rafa does tend to take them out and eat them.
Which she's called you out.
Her reward, yeah.
I mean, if I was living with someone that made cakes, I mean, what can you do?
It's very, very tempting, because I mean, luckily I have a large refrigerator and freezer, but now it's like 50% full of cakes most of the time. Until you've seen, you know, a freezer with 200 cupcakes in it and many other cakes, it's quite a shock when you see that many cakes sitting there and they think, Rafa just can't help herself.
I mean, it's not like she's probably like, oh, it's just one.
It's just one. I won't notice because there's many.
And I'm also curious, like, since the last year that you started, what was the most rewarding thing so far for you?
I think seeing us grow so fast and also your skills grow.
Thank you.
And decorating. Seriously.
Yeah. Ella likes to massively overpromise because she's head of marketing. And then I need to actually deliver. So she's frequently saying to people, yes, Kate can do that for you for Tuesday. And I have to say, but Ella, I've never made this sort of cake before. I don't know how to do this decoration. I don't know what I'm doing. And she'll say, well, you have 2 days. You can figure it out. And so far,
it's been going well.
It's been going very well.
I get that, though. It's like sell before you create. That's marketing.
Yeah, yeah. I think in the beginning, a lot of the products that we advertised were AI generated.
And now I actually can make these products.
Now we can actually make them. Because we needed to test a lot of different things. Mm-hmm. And the only way to do it was to visualize it for people. And of course, we always mention that this is AI content, but I think... Mm-hmm. But I think AI is an amazing thing. Mm-hmm. A lot of course, there are some parts of it that is scary or maybe needs to be more controlled. But I think for us, it was a best tool to test different ideas in the mm-hmm. beginning. Mm-hmm. And then, of course,
someone has to figure it out, and it's mm-hmm. me. But so far, we've always done it very successfully, and always managed. I think for me, the most rewarding thing is when I've made some of these crazy creations and send them to people, and then we get pictures of people opening, unboxing, blowing out their candles, enjoying their cake. And that always makes me feel really happy to see the look on people's faces when they receive a surprise birthday cake delivery. And you can see them there with their cake and their balloons and their themed party. And to be part of that, it makes me feel really good. Aww. That we're doing something that actually makes people mm-hmm. feel good and makes them happy. I think there should be more cake and more joy in life.
Yeah. I agree. Yeah. Well, can you guys give any advice to people out there who would want to start a business mm-hmm. in Portugal? Any advice?
I think Portugal is the best place mm-hmm. To try a new idea.
Why?
I don't know why, but I don't know. I used to live in Austria before Portugal, and from my perspective, Austria has a lot of maybe cultural and also structural barriers for anyone who wants to open a business or start a business. For us, it was very easy. Lisbon has this very kind of, it feels like ideas are accepted with open arms. Maybe some of them don't work, but you're always, it's a lot easier to try and test. And I think the multicultural vibe of Lisbon also helps. You have people from different backgrounds. It seems like there's always...
There's a lot of hustlers here.
A lot of hustlers, but also anything. You would have a customer somehow that would want what you're selling because
my friendship with Ella has really changed me a lot as a person because I'm kind of a nerd and a geek and I like to know how things work and to read a lot of books about it and to think about the subject before I start. And Ella is the absolute opposite, like I said at the beginning. She's just like, just sell it, just go, just tell people we're doing a thing, and then if 10 people sign up, then we'll figure out how to do it. And this really stresses me out, but I've learned how to deal with this. And in fact, it's better, and now I'm embracing the chaos.
You're very good.
And I'm very happy about this, that I've gone from someone who needs to know absolutely everything theoretically about how it works before I start, and now I'm on the like fuck around and find out school of thought. And the more you fuck around, the more you find out.
She got you out of your comfort zone.
Exactly,
which is amazing.
But it's a good place to be. And you know, like Ella said, we've really messed around with a lot of different weird ideas, but it's not until you actually start doing a thing that you discover, is there a market for this? Do people want this? Does this work? Can we do it? And yeah, it's great to just try. And sometimes things don't work very successfully, but sometimes it's much more successful than you expect. And we just start, literally just start and learn by doing and go bit by bit.
And start a business with your friend. You get to spend a lot of time together.
Sell things.
Doing...
Yeah, exactly. Sell things to your friends. But I think it's good that we haven't invested a lot of money. We've started everything slowly, step by step. And then if somebody orders a heart-shaped cake, then I will buy a heart-shaped cake tin, and then I will do it. But if nobody's ordering this, I won't order any equipment beforehand. So trying to keep overheads as low as possible and just invest slowly and gradually and go bit by bit. And as we build up money, then we can keep expanding into new areas and investing. But we didn't have any capital to start off with, so everything we make goes back into the business account, and then we buy more stuff, and then we can continue and get bigger slowly. Mm-hmm. Low risk strategy.
Yep. Yeah. Keep it lean.
Yeah.
I love that. Well, you guys, thank you so much for sharing your story. This thank has you. Been an amazing, and I'm so excited to dig into that cake over there.
Yes. I really hope you enjoy it.
It's staring at us from the table.
It's staring at us. Thank you. I hope you enjoy it so much.
And we thank you for joining us. And remember to like, share, and subscribe.
Thank you for watching.
All right,
and
guys.
Don't forget to subscribe.
Well, we will see you guys in the next one. And this is...
From Lisbon, Lisbon with love. Ciao.
Bye, guys.
Thanks for spending this time with us.
And for listening to our stories, our laughs, and a few of our growing pains.
If this episode resonated with you, share it with someone who needs a little Lisbon love in their life.
And don't forget to subscribe, rate, and leave us a review. It helps more hearts find our little corner of the world. From all of us,
from Lisbon with love.